Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Fantasy Foot Beer. I am James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Michael Stewart. Dr. Stu, what's up, buddy?
Oh, you know, not much. Just enjoying a lovely Tuesday. Had a great day at work. It's a beautiful day outside, and I'm ready to be insanely negative during this episode. We're going to be talking about some teams I'm not thrilled about, James. But first, I want to hear how you are doing tonight.
I am doing really well today. I have my dog here, Indy, next to me. If you can't hear him chewing on a toy, hopefully he's not too squeaky. He didn't have that a second ago. He was going to be quiet. But yeah, I'm doing good. I'm ready to talk fantasy football, if that's what we're calling it today. Today, for our show, we are talking about the other half of the AFC North. And this is the less fun half. This is the Steelers and the Browns. If you are familiar with their current team makeups, not a lot of fun for fantasy football, but we are nothing if not thorough, and we are going to hit everything y'all need to know. But there is a little bit of news to hit first. Last week was very slow. This week, things finally have started happening. One of those news pieces we're going to hit very soon, so we won't talk too much about Aaron Rodgers yet. But Nick Chubb, long time running back for the Cleveland Browns, has signed with the Houston Texans. Stu, any thoughts on Chubb to Houston?
Yeah, so we'll of course talk about it eventually. We're going to cover every team, and the Texans have yet to be covered. So we'll talk about it in depth at that point. But you know, I'm just happy that he found a spot. And I've always been a fan of Nick Chubb. I want him to come back from that devastating injury a little bit better than he showed at the tail end of last year. I mean, he was serviceable, but he wasn't Nick Chubb, you know? So we'll talk about it. It definitely affects one of the teams we're talking about today in the Browns. So we'll go over the new look running back stable now that there's a little less ambiguity and uncertainty there. But you have one more piece of news in your mailbag, James. What is that?
That is J.K. Dobbins, former Raven and Charger, is now on the Denver Broncos, joining a cadre of running backs that range from uninteresting to unimpressive. That's not exactly fair. We don't know how R.J. Harvey is going to do, and I'm still waiting on Audric Estime to get his chance to break out, but I think you probably share my general feeling that this is, you know, meh.
It feels fairly meh. I still think that, comeback player of the year, I think J.K. Dobbins is well worth a look in drafts, and he's definitely going to be, you know, even if it's a committee, you kind of lean one way or the other. It's very hard to split things down the middle, but he's definitely going to be the primary leaned upon character in that backfield, at least early on. Am I saying that R.J. Harvey should not be drafted? Absolutely not. I'd be very happy to get him on my team, especially in points per reception leagues, but we'll have to see exactly how he acclimates to the NFL, how he's going to break out, and see how much work he can take from J.K. Dobbins. You may recall that J.K. Dobbins has a storied injury history. He was almost one of the most unlucky people I ever had owned in fantasy football, but he stayed healthy last year with the Chargers for the most part. So is he on a turning over a new leaf in his career, or is he going to go down with injury and leave the door wide open for the exciting young Harvey? Who knows? But we'll talk about them, of course, eventually. James, let's get started, shall we?
Let's get started. First team to talk about today is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, man.
Oh, man, indeed.
Oh, man. Okay, so I think the place to start with the Steelers is, unfortunately, the quarterback position, which just had a change this week. Aaron Rodgers finally decided to take Pittsburgh out of limbo and say he's officially coming. I think we mentioned this in passing last episode. Or maybe it wasn't last episode. Maybe we were just texting about it. I think I said QB 23. I think you said QB 24. Stu, have you looked up where his initial rankings are?
Oh, gosh. You know, haven't even looked at that and the updated for the last couple of days. I did say QB 26. So a little bit worse than 24. Honestly, he's not horrific, but I just have the question I'm asking myself. Did the Steelers get better with this move, or did the Steelers just become more entertaining with this move? I mean, Mason Rudolph is not by any means an exciting option at quarterback. I was already not looking at the Steelers fantasy-wise, unless, you know, spoiler alert, DK Metcalf keeps falling like he is. But now Aaron Rodgers, who's probably a better quarterback at this point in his age 41 season than Mason Rudolph is, and however old Mason Rudolph is, I don't even care. But is this going to be anything but tumultuous? Like, Rodgers couldn't make the Jets work, and the Jets have actually talented offensive weapons. Garrett Wilson, at this point, I think is better than DK Metcalf. Breece Hall is far better than Warren in the Steelers' backfield. Maybe Freiermuth is a better option at tight end, but is Rodgers now going to make a team that I think is objectively worse relevant? No, James. I just don't think so.
Yeah, I agree. At this point in Aaron Rodgers' career, he's not fantasy relevant. The quarterback ranking, by the way, that he is showing up with right now is QB 30.
Whew.
So, you know, not draftable, not even really draftable in a two quarterback league. Quick on Mason Rudolph, though. I can never picture his face without the Photoshop memes of the dent in it. Like, you remember the time that Miles Garrett ripped off his helmet and smacked him in the head with it?
I don't think anybody can forget that. Everybody remembers that.
That was one of my favorite moments in the history of professional football. Just so, so dumb. But speaking of so dumb, let's stop talking about the Steelers quarterback room. Obviously, I think the most fantasy relevant player for the Steelers right now is going to be their wide receiver one, DK Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
Not especially after trading away George Pickens, but his role becomes that much more important. But DK Metcalf, currently sitting wide receiver 25 in mocks I'm seeing, he's going around the fifth round. I kind of struggled to think about how to deal with DK Metcalf. And this is interesting because last episode we were talking about a couple wide receivers that I struggled to think about. And I would much rather have, say, Flowers than DK Metcalf. And they're going in sort of similar areas.
Mm-hmm.
But DK Metcalf, guy with a huge ceiling, huge physical athletic upside, guy with a catch radius the size of basically the entire field. Is Aaron Rodgers going to be able to get footballs for him? Is DK Metcalf going to be able to get separation because there's really not any other wide receivers on the field to take away attention from him? These are the big questions, I think, that come with DK Metcalf. I could see a world where he is a safe wide receiver too. I could see a world where he has a few weeks of wide receiver one play. I think he's going to be very touchdown dependent. I think that he's going to be a little inconsistent with touches, but that's kind of my thoughts on DK at the moment. Mm-hmm. Stu, you got any thoughts on DK Metcalf?
So DK Metcalf, I mentioned he's falling a ton, and for very good reason. Like, there's not a whole lot on this offense to be afraid of besides him. And there's some serious questions as to whether the two personalities of Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf are going to jive super well with each other. Aaron Rodgers has a tendency to blame people around him for things that go wrong in the game. DK Metcalf maybe doesn't take criticism super well, likes to give up on routes sometimes. It's not really a great look, in my opinion. And these are all very, you know, subjective, tenuous things, but they do affect the stats and how the team works and plays on the field. I think a big player in where or how DK Metcalf works out this year is how the people beneath him on the depth chart try to rise to the occasion and fill the hole that was left when George Pickens was traded. People like Calvin Austin III, one of those speedy little suckers, he had a very quiet 500 yards, 4 touchdowns last season. And, you know, there was some buzz around him last season that I was listening to a little bit, and he showed flashes. Is he going to be able to take that step to be a number two option in this offense, take a little bit of heat off of DK Metcalf, or maybe Roman Wilson, young guy as well? So there's some question marks. There's some reasons to be hopeful. For me personally, right now you said wide receiver 25 going in the fifth round. I'd like to see him drop maybe a little bit more before it's palatable for me to try to take him as a like a flex option or wide receiver 4, because I don't honestly think that he's going to be a whole lot more than that this season, James. So now that we talked about the most exciting thing about the Steelers, let's kind of sift through the rest, shall we? Running backs. No more Najee Harris. It's a new look. No more Najee Harris. We got Jalen Warren, Caleb Johnson, Kenneth Gainwell, and former Colt, Trey Sermon. James, are any of these guys exciting to you?
Now, a thing to notice about Caleb Johnson, that is rookie running back Caleb Johnson. Rankings I'm seeing, Caleb Johnson and Jalen Warren going virtually at the exact same place interchangeably. Caleb Johnson currently sitting RB29, Jalen Warren RB30. The only reason I'm higher on Caleb Johnson than I am Jalen Warren is because we've seen Jalen Warren and we've seen him kind of wanting at times. Caleb Johnson, I'm going to be honest, I'm not very familiar with his game from college. I don't know what he's going to bring to the table. So if they're willing to take a running back that early, you would assume, and this is the trap we always fall into, you would assume he's going to get meaningful snaps. And that would be true. My thing is just, is he going to get meaningful snaps on a meaningful offense? And I'm not really going to buy in on that. Volume, I see in a split backfield with Jalen Warren. And I would assume Kenneth Gainwell is going to get a good amount of snaps, too. Definitely not as much as the other two. But are they going to be in high leverage situations? I don't see that happening. Both of those guys are going in the eighth round. That's a pretty dead zone for me. For running backs, what are your thoughts, Stu?
Well, what their ADP currently tells me is that nobody really knows what to do with either of them. They're not giving the edge to Jalen Warren. They're not giving the edge to Caleb Johnson. And that's probably just how it's going to shake out as 2025 drafts speed up. I mean, Johnson was a round 3 take out of Iowa. He's around, you know, the time where Quinshon Judkins was taken, and we're really excited about Quinshon Judkins. Very much could be the Najee Harris of this squad. He's bigger than both Jalen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell, so he kind of rounds that out. Jalen Warren has always been a little better, I feel, in passing situations and passing downs, getting him in space. He really honestly struggled last year, both with injuries and efficiency on the field, so hopefully that rookie can come in and shoulder a good bit of the load and let Jalen Warren kind of get back to what he is comfortable with. But absolutely, you know, like RB3, RB4 options for either. Not super thrilled to take either, but I would definitely prefer Caleb Johnson just because, I mean, if you kind of look at his numbers, at least on paper, you know, it looks pretty good. In 2024 at Iowa, he's got 240 carries for 1,500 yards, 21 touchdowns, and he doesn't really fumble too much, which is great. Ball security is huge in the NFL. You can get dropped on your butt pretty quick if fumbles start happening, a la what's his nuts from New England's Ramondre. Yeah, him.
Mm-hmm.
So, quietly, hesitantly excited, I guess, for what they are. And then we've got the Muth. The Muth being possibly Luth in Pittsburgh. 65 receptions last year for 653 yards. I love that. That's very visually appealing to the eye. 7 touchdowns. A target? Streaming target? Yeah, that's basically all I have for him.
Yeah, streamer for very sure. I'm currently seeing him at tight end 15. Not currently seeing him being drafted. Maybe with Aaron Rodgers joining the fold, maybe his stock rises a little bit. I don't really see that happening, or I at least don't really see it rising to the point where he's consistently drafted.
Right.
He's a streamer. He's definitely going to be in the conversation for those weeks when you need a guy. We just kind of got to wait and see. We've seen him be, well, I'm not going to say consistent because we haven't seen him be consistent. We've seen him make impacts at times.
Yeah.
And
an important thing to note about Freiermuth is actually, so in that room, they've also got Donald Parham Jr., who is out for the season now. So there's a little less competition there for snaps for Muth.
Yep. I think he's kind of suffering from the same thing the rest of this team is suffering from, and that's they look like they're tanking. And there's not really a cure for that, especially for fantasy football. You're not going to see a lot of Steelers on a lot of teams. And guys like Pat Freiermuth, who've been around for a while, who've, you know, had opportunities, are not going to see a lot of starting spots in fantasy football this year. Really, if you want guys who are probably going to start quite a bit in fantasy football this year from the Steelers, look at their defense,
mm-hmm.
provided they can re-sign TJ Watt, of course. Steelers defense sitting at, looks like number 3. Chris Boswell, kicker, sitting at number 5. Don't reach.
Don't reach for either always, of those, yeah.
That's always the message anytime we talk about kickers and defenses is don't reach. That's the only thing I think we really have to say.
Am I the only one, though, thinking that Boswell's not repeating this last season? He was kind of a revelation last season. I didn't see it coming. I don't think it's happening again this season. Worse offense, now 34 years old, playing in an open stadium. I wouldn't be psyched to have him as a weekly option myself.
No. I mean, I think Chris Boswell benefited from an offense that was bad enough to never score and good enough to get across the 50. I don't see this Pittsburgh offense as having improved at all. So I definitely think it probably is taking a step back. But yeah, I'm with you. I don't think Chris Boswell repeats, but he'll still be drafted, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's all the Steelers. Are there any you want to pull out of thin air and talk about? Or
there's not any that I want to pull out of midair and talk about. We can go ahead and move on to, the Browns. we don't have to talk about Voldemort. That's pretty cool. He's out for
that
the season, so that's nice. Their quarterback room is the clear as mud. Joe Flacco, who's in front, ? Super Bowl champion Kenny Pickett was on the field for the last snap of the Super Bowl. We've got two rookies, not one, but two. They were the winners of the quote-unquote Shadur sweepstakes, along with Dylan Gabriel, who they took before Shadur. So who's starting for them?
Fantastic question. And I don't think anyone in that locker room knows. I don't think anybody in any of those coaching rooms knows. I don't think anybody in the front office knows. I don't think any quarterback knows. I think Shadur probably thinks he is. And you know what? Based on the things I'm seeing out of minicamps on Twitter, yeah, he probably is. But I, Stu, I was texting you about this earlier today. I love minicamp season because you just have all of the beat writers just, they have very twitchy trigger fingers right now. They want to take videos of everything they see, shoot it out onto Twitter or X or whatever, and talk about this guy's going to be a problem this year showing out in minicamp. And meanwhile, in the actual clip, you see the defense going half speed, barely playing any recognizable coverage and hitting like a 7-yard slant. Like, all right, cool. But I know that none of these quarterbacks are draftable.
None.
And everybody at home, even if you know nothing about fantasy football, if you've seen what's going on here, you probably already knew that. But I just wrote down the QB rankings for all five guys right now in that quarterback room. And number one will shock you. Number one currently listed. Do you want to guess?
Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett's at number three overall, QB 42. Try again.
Are you going to take me down all five? Deshaun Watson. He's number one in injury.
Deshaun Watson is fifth, QB 47. Try again.
I'm irate. It's Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco is number two, QB 35. Try again.
40-year-old Joe Flacco is number two. Oh, my God. Which rookie do they have listed number one, folks? Tell us on X, Instagram. Laugh at me because I'm honestly guessing. I'm honestly trying to put some analysis to it. It's Shadur.
It is Shadur.
Oh, my. Jesus Christ.
Shadur, you already knew this, everybody, but Shadur is not draftable. Currently sitting at QB 34. Imagine having your best option for fantasy being lower than 32nd. And there are 32 teams in the NFL, and yours is number 34. That is such a smack in the mouth. Such a slap in the face. But, you know, he's probably going to get some time. I don't know. The Browns beat writers certainly think so.
It'll be entertaining.
That's a word for it. Let's talk about a position that at least somewhat matters for us here. Let's start with running backs. We've got two guys that, well, another rookie, Quinshon Judkins. Going RB28 and Jerome Ford going RB49. Judkins in the draft and in the rankings going basically in the same spot that Caleb Johnson and Jaylen Warren were. Judkins out of Ohio State. Stu, you mentioned earlier, I don't know if it was facetious or not, that we were falling over ourselves for him before. I think that in our post-draft episode, I think I did fall a little over myself for him, especially because I don't really see Jerome Ford contesting that much for his touches, and definitely not Dylan Sampson sitting down there at the third spot. What's your take on Quinshon Judkins, the rookie?
Well, the Browns on offense have to look somewhere. Are they going to be passing the ball a whole lot, no matter who the quarterback is? Probably not. I mean, are you going to let two rookies be gunslingers out there? Joe Flacco, physically, it can't be a gunslinger. I don't think he's ever been a gunslinger in his life. He's been a game manager for the last decade, at the very least. And Kenny Pickett can hold on to the ball with his normally sized hands. They have to go somewhere, James. It's going to be through the running backs. Jerome Ford, perfectly serviceable bench target, bye week fill-in. But Judkins, Judkins could absolutely work his way, if he, you know, does what rookie running backs can do, work his way into the, you know, high RB3, RB2 kind of conversation over the course of the season. I could easily see it. I would definitely not hesitate grabbing Quinshon sometime in the, he's what, overall, what I'm seeing going as overall number 61, which is what, end of five, early six, feels fairly reasonable for him. So, wouldn't be upset at all. Landing in a good situation, at least for, you know, volume, and if you want to use the old adage in fantasy football, volume is king. But, James, I know you disagree with that. You want to tell us what you believe that saying should be?
Meaningful volume is king. If you are getting 30, 35, 40 touches a game in an offense that can't move the ball more than a yard a play, what's the frickin' point of volume? And the Browns kind of, that kind of feels like what this is going to be. I do really like Quinshon Judkins' skill set, though. I really like what he's put on tape during his college career. That's why I was excited about him to begin with. And, I mean, he's not going to take the role of Nick Chubb. He's not that kind of guy. He's a little bit more scatty. But, I mean, he could be important to a fantasy run down the line. And I know you said around the sixth round where you're seeing him. I saw him early eighth where I had him going today. If I see him in the eighth, that's a fine spot for him. I like that value, at least right now. We'll see what else develops over the offseason. But I would call myself cautiously optimistic on Quinshon Judkins, not because of the player, but optimistic because of the player, cautious because of the team. Mm-hmm. That's my thought.
Absolutely. So then we talk about wide receivers, the people receiving the balls from all those quarterbacks. Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, Deontay Johnson, if he sticks around the entire year. Those three guys are the major ones we talk about. Jerry Jeudy, your guy, James. I'll never stop referencing it. Your guy. Build the franchise around him. Jerry Jeudy had his first, you know, really effective season last year. It was weird. I didn't know what I was watching. 90 receptions, 1,200 yards, 4 touchdowns. Breakout season now at age, he was 25, 26 at the time, James. Is he continuing that, or are we tempering expectations again for Mr. Jeudy?
It is kind of ironic that the most interesting fantasy people for the Browns are receivers when we have such a massive question mark at quarterback. Okay. You troll me for this, but I do still love Jerry Jeudy's skill set. I did when he came out of the draft. I do now. And it's dumb. It's not dumb. He's got something. But unless they bring in a sixth guy who has a little bit better of an arm and is a better quarterback in every way than the other five guys that they have, I don't really see Jerry Jeudy repeating what he did last year. I am not interested in most of what Cleveland is selling right now. Jerry Jeudy I'm seeing as a wide receiver 29. That for me looks like he's going in the fifth. This is tough, because I like Jerry Jeudy, I like his skill set, I don't like his situation, and I don't like him at that price with the quarterback who's there right now. So I'll ask you a question here. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have DK Metcalf right now or Jerry Jeudy right now?
I would rather have DK Metcalf, and I don't think it's particularly close.
Mm-hmm. I think anybody coming from the Browns, even if they have incredible skill sets they're going to be hamstrung by the guy who's throwing the ball. And maybe, just maybe, Shedeur Sanders comes out and is a flamethrower and was pro-ready from the fifth round. Maybe Dylan Gabriel is that guy. Maybe Kenny Pickett revives his career. I don't freaking know. But I'm not paying for Jerry Jeudy where he's at right now, not even considering it. Stu?
No, I wouldn't say so either. If anything, I'd take him as a real depth piece, but he's not sniffing my lineup early on in the season until they get a little more certainty and we see a little bit about how Cleveland is going to run in the first 4 to 6 games, I would say. But one thing that's in Jerry Jeudy's favor over DK Metcalf is that his wide receiver, too, is a better option overall. Cedric Tillman really that turned it on at the end of the season. He had 2 games of double-digit targets, you know, scored 3 times. I picked him up in our Dynasty League. I was pretty excited to do that, so really excited to see if he can keep that going. I don't think he will for all the reasons that you mentioned about Jerry Jeudy and all the question marks Cleveland has. But there is competency across the field, and not the least of which at the tight end position, James. David Njoku, great last name to say, really, really fun. Not a fantasy option for me personally, and he really never has been. Do you feel like he's in the streaming category? I don't even know if I would put him there.
So I'm currently seeing him going as the tight end 9 in, this is going to blow your mind, in mock drafts I've seen today, going as early as the 6th round.
No way, Jose.
I don't know how. How are you taking David Njoku in the 6th round? Who is going to give him the ball? I don't care if he's got an enormous body, which he does. He's had problems with his hands. Not that his hands are injured, but just that he has had problems catching the football. Yeah, he's had moments where he's been a great big target who's been able to bring in a few balls, but you got to have someone who's going to give him the ball. And yeah, Deshaun Watson has been terrible. Joe Flacco was terrible. Everybody else who has thrown him the ball during his career in Cleveland, with the exception of probably Baker Mayfield, I'm pretty sure they were playing at the same time, were terrible. David Njoku, skill set that can produce, situation that cannot. If you take David Njoku in the 6th round, that is crazy.
That is just on you.
And just another reason why we've been saying this is a good year to punt on tight ends.
If that is our tight end 9, absolutely punt on tight ends.
Yep. Harold Fannin is the next guy in that room at tight end 32, in case anyone was curious.
We weren't, but thank you.
That's all the Browns. Wow, that episode kind of upset me. You know, I think it's time to, I don't know, I think it's time for last call, Stu. What are you drinking tonight?
Well, James, it is last call. Oh, I'm so clever with our wordplay, beer-related wordplay. I love it. I am drinking, you know, I may have had this before. I can't honestly remember, but this is from Dewclaw Brewing, the Sweet Baby Jesus. It's an American porter. It's scored pretty well. It's very tasty, honestly. I'm not enjoying it, but I bought it around the same time as I bought that that lime flavored Mexican ale thing. I think I drank one of those on an episode, and then the rest are in the back of my fridge. But this has been, it's saved that trip to the grocery store for me. So still drinking a little bit of that. James, what are you drinking to round out this evening?
Well, this evening I am drinking from Sturdy Shelter Brewing in Batavia, Illinois, the Wilson Street Munich Style Dunkel. Something interesting about this particular beer, I know I've reviewed a few Sturdy Shelter beers so far this season, This one, despite the fact that Sturdy Shelter, their brewery has not been around for very long, I think it's really under 2 years, this beer has already won a bronze medal at the World Beer Cup. So, very impressive. And I am looking forward to drinking it. Let's crack those beers. And y'all at home, you do it too. In 3, 2, 1. Smell those nice toasted malts. Very light hoppiness. A nice dark color.
I was really struggling to crack that beer. Please don't judge me. It took me this entire time.
That's Sweet Baby Jesus. I've had that one. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Not as fun of a name as Dunkel, though. You just Dunkel. You just have the best names with your beers.
I bet any of our listeners, you get 10 guesses as to what Dunkel means in German. Stu, you get one. Go.
Oh God, I'm on the spot. Auf Deutsch, Dunkel ist creamy.
Dark. Means dark.
Dark.
All right. Stu, any closing thoughts for us tonight?
Absolutely. Reach out to us on X, on Instagram. Follow us, like things, talk to us, whatever you want to do. Beer recommendations, fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com. I want to know what you want us to drink and try. What's your favorite beer, and what do you want to share with the world? You know, we're here. We love chatting with people. Just let us know. James, round us out, my man.
All right. Thanks, Stu. Thanks for another great episode. Thanks to all our listeners for tuning in or logging on or doing whatever you do. We very much appreciate your time. There's a lot of different podcasts you can listen to out there, and we're glad that you chose ours. And thanks to my puppy Indy over there for stopping his squeaking and sleeping right behind me. And for Michael Stewart, I'm James Kemp. Everybody, good night. Paces in 5. Good time.